This, I just want to let you know, this audio recording, recording, and transcript is going to be a part of the center's archive and could be used to develop other programs, exhibits, publications. Just for the record, do you give us permission to do this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. Talk to me about yourself. Tell me about a little about your family, your neighborhood, where you grew up.
Okay. I grew up in a Bay Village, single mom. With a lot of other family members that lived in the village. Actually, some of them were there ever since the Bay Village was built in the early 1940s. And it was a community of people, family members as well as others, that were very village-like. They helped bring up everybody that was there. So no matter who it was, you respected your elders. If you was out there playing in the yard and doing something that you wasn't supposed to be doing, like kicking the ball and hitting somebody's window, you know, they would scold you, you know. And it was a community thing. I really appreciate being brought up in the Bay Village because it taught me a lot to respect elders. It taught me a lot about family, what it means to have not just your immediate family, but extended family, to know everyone. I do come from a very, very big family. My family name was the Martins, which came from Maiden Lane, which was another area of New Bedford. Very popular and big family, like I said. So my mother was a single parent, as I said before, and she had to survive. So like everyone else, the only thing that was really going on that women could work at was basically the fish houses. As also my other family members, my aunts, my mother's sisters, my mother's aunts, they all worked in the fish house as well. So it was interesting growing up at that time, because all I remember was my mother would leave the house, say, I want to say it was around 6:30, to be there for 7 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes they had to be there for 6 o'clock in the morning. So my mother would prepare my breakfast, you know, before I go to school. She'd prepare my breakfast. I'd get myself ready and everything. And then she would go off to work. Sometimes I would go over to my aunt's house and wait for my cousin so we'd all go to school together, or my Uncle Morris, or, you know, whoever was in the neighborhood. Because I did not want to be in the house by myself. Hated that. So she would be off to work. She'd be gone all day. I'd go to school, come home. I think at the time was like 3:30 we used to get out of school. And I'd go to one of my aunt's house that was living in the village, of course, until my mother got home. And sometimes she would come home around 6 o'clock, sometimes 7 o'clock. So it was late, you know. And during the wintertime, it was hard because it was dark and cold. But I'd be at my aunt's house, have dinner with them, or my mother sometimes would prepare dinner for a few days, and then I'd go home. But I'd go right back out. I'll go next door over Kathy and Laverne's house, whoever. The doors were always open. Food was always on the table. You know, it was a custom. You know, come on, you got to come in, come on, you got to sit down, eat something. So that was never a problem. Never felt poor. Always had food. Always had love. Stories. A lot of those old folk stories of things, you know, just them enjoying life the best way they knew how. So, that was my upbringing until going to school and coming home and just playing in the yard. Playpen. We didn't call it a yard. We called it a playpen. A lot of kids. Everybody went to the same school, so everybody knew each other from not just the Bay Village, but from Cushionet Ave, Purchase Street, Pleasant Street, all the way up to County, wherever. But, yeah, so most of my time was there in the village, and my mother's time was mostly working. She worked in the fish house, so I want to say for about 30-something years, between 30 and 35 years. She retired at the age of 65. However, while she was there, she used to do everything from cutting, well, I think they called it scaling the fish, cutting, of course, cutting the fish, scaling the fish, weighing the fish, you name it. Worked in ice cold temperatures, a lot of ice. She did have arthritis at the time, and of course in her elder years it got worse. But it was very hard work. Very, very hard work for the women. Their pay, I don't remember her pay. I don't ever remember seeing her paycheck. But it was a little bit of money. It wasn't much at all. But they made it work. They made it work. And she did, for being a single parent. And I have to... take my hat off. Give me a minute. For all the sacrifice that they did, all of them, it was a lot of sacrificing. And looking back at that, I appreciate it. And it has made me a person of who I am today. So, with that being said, I have to take my hat off to all of them. And that's why I'm here, to represent them for what they did, because no one ever asked who were they or what did they do, what their life was like. I don't ever recall hearing anybody ask that one simple question. But they did it without complaining. Oh my God, I've never heard her complain. My aunts too. Same thing. I've never heard them complain. They just do what they had to do and had families to raise at the same time. So it wasn't easy. So, yeah. That's my time.
That was amazing. And how many women do you know personally that work in that industry?
Right. Mine, Helen. Helen Andrade. My aunt, Margaret Forts. Her nickname was Chicky. Everybody had nicknames. Who else? My cousin, Penny. Her name is Emanuela Pyers. Let me see. Who else? My aunt, Rosie. Rosie Fernandez. She worked in a fish house, however, she was not going to work in doing what the other, you know, doing the packing and things like that. She worked in the office. Who else was there? Oh, my God. Geraldine, my aunt Mummy, her name is Geraldine Gomes. my aunt Beverly, she worked there for a moment. So, I can't think of anybody else right now. I should have wrote it down.
That's okay. That's okay. I knew your mother. She was an amazing woman. I remember her walking home sometimes with the blackfish boots. But talk about your mom a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. When they came out from the fish house, they smelt like the fish. It was not pleasant. However, they wore it with like nothing. You know, if they had to make a stop after work, stop in the store, they'd go with their fish clothes. Scales all over them. The boots were like what we call right now rain boots, is what they wore. And I was talking to my cousin. This was interesting. He said about Geraldine Mummy that she would wear her boots with no socks. Yes, with no socks. And I was shocked. I was like, wow. I don't know how she, maybe because of sweat. I don't know. I gotta ask him a little bit more about that. But yeah, but my mother wore socks and it was thick. They wore those thick, I think they were called fisherman socks. They were very, very, very thick. And with her boots, with her sweatshirt, her pants. They would have these plastic aprons when, of course, that was there at the job. But, yeah, when she'd come home, she'd go and take her, at the time it was baths. We didn't have showers. She would take her bath every evening and get ready for the next day. So it was just a constant routine every single day until the weekend.
Tell me about what she did outside of her job on the weekends.
They had a ball. They would go, first of all, Saturday mornings were like this. Because I was the only child, I had to clean up the whole house. Could not leave the house on Saturdays without everything being clean, including when it was seasonal change, you had to wash the windows, change the curtains, iron everything, wash the stairs, wax the floors, clean the bathroom, change the bedclothes. So while I was doing that, she was doing her thing. So she would go and get her hair done, go downtown, go to the market, buy her stuff, go down to Cove Mills, go to, I forget the name of the market, in New Bedford, downtown there, but she would just run her chores. After that, they would either go, they meaning the community, the aunts, the uncles, would go to either, you know, the cafe to have a drink, Crystal Cafe, Bomb Shelter, Band Club, United Social, YA, wherever. And then by Saturday, I say around dinner time, me and my mother would always go downtown. We'd go to Kowloon's Chinese. We'd get our Chinese food. Sometimes we'd eat it there. Sometimes we'd bring it home. And then that was it for the evening. Come Sunday, now she's getting ready for the week. She's doing all her cooking early in the morning, cook breakfast every single Saturday and Sunday. We always had a big breakfast, always had family members to come over for breakfast and make, you know, Creole food. As well as the regular bacon and eggs and things like that. And then she would get ready, you know, dinner, make her dinner, be ready by 12, 1 o'clock. And then she'd get ready for the week, get her clothes ready, her laundry, everything, and she was off.
I have a picture of your mom's port security card, and It describes her job as a fish wrapper. And she had more jobs than just that.
Yeah. They did whatever they had to do to fulfill the day. So whatever, I guess, came in on the boats is what they would have to, you know, do. Something like the hours were never set hours. So it was like from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. Sometimes 9 o'clock. It really depends on what they needed to get off that boat and get processed. And they would do whatever they needed to do, whether it was packing, scaling, whatever it was that the foremans needed, they were there to do it. And if there was no boats coming in that day to that particular fish house, then they would hop to another fish house and see if they needed work. And of course, the whole, we used to call it the wharf, the whole, is now called the pier front. The whole pier front was full of fish houses here in New Bedford. There was nothing but fish boats coming in and going out, coming in and going out. So they would try to fulfill their whole week to work. And basically they did. Sometimes they work on Saturdays too, half a day.
What was your mother's role when she worked with wet fish? Can you explain that process?
I'm not too sure about that. I just remember as a little girl going down to the fish houses and holding my breath, for one, because it was powerful. But when I used to see her, she used to be taking the, getting the fish from these big containers and putting them on like a belt, like a conveyor belt. And it would go to the next person. Next person would scale it. The next person would cut. So it was a like an assembly line. Mm-hmm. That's all I remember seeing her from, you know.
What is wet fish? Because I know what that is because you explained it to me. But to someone who doesn't know with working with wet fishes,
could you? Well, when they come off the boat, it's in on ice. It was on ice. It was either in the water, but it was water and ice. And they would, the guys would bring it in, and then they would take it from those big containers and start to do what they needed to do. But it was fresh. It was always fresh fish. We always had fresh fish here in New Bedford, the best.
How do you think your mother's job may have contributed to some of the arthritis and other injuries that she had? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think because of the cold that they worked in every single day of the year, whether it was summer or winter, I think that had a profound reason for her having arthritis, because she had it in her hands. Mainly in her hands, and of course, sometimes in her back. Because they would have to also pick up those containers with the fish in it and put it up top so they can scale it and do whatever they were doing to process it. So, yeah, she had arthritis, and then when she retired, the year she retired, she had open heart surgery. She had to have a triple bypass. So she wasn't really taking care of herself, but didn't know that at the time because, you know, when you're working, and you got to support your family, you don't think of yourself. You're thinking of your family and taking care of your family. So I guess when she retired, her body just crashed and kind of like everything came about on her. So, and she retired when she was 65.
Did she like her job?
I never really heard of her complain about it. I heard of her talking about stories, because they would be, I guess, telling jokes to each other, saying things, you know, to make each other laugh. But I never really heard her complain. As a matter of fact, sometimes they used to come home for lunch, right? And they used to go over to my Aunt Rosie's house. And my Aunt Rosie would have their coffee and things. They'd have their lunch pail, the metal lunch pail with the little buckles or whatever you call it. And they'd have their lunch with their sandwiches. Sandwich, soup in a thermos, was called a thermos. They'd have that, their sandwich, their soup, and sometimes a salad. And they'd have their lunch, smoking their cigarettes in the house. That time it was allowed. And they would sit there. It was mostly the sisters, because it was sisters and aunts that was there. And they'd have their lunch. They'd talk. And then, it's funny because now that I'm thinking about it, I remember seeing fish scales in their hair. Oh, they'd have to wear the net. But I remember seeing the fish scales in their hair and all over. But, yeah, they would come at least 3 times a week, 4 times a week to go and sit and play numbers.
You could say that.
Oh, and play numbers. Penny, put a penny on 123. Put 5 cents on 208. Yeah, so they would go. That's what their reason was, to go and play the numbers, because they would try to win money, win something else.
Like my own mother who played the numbers, the Nubrinas.
Yeah.
Sometimes she won.
Right.
What happened when she won?
She'd take me shopping. I'd go, I'd like, okay, let's do this. Yeah, we'd go shopping. My mother always had, I always had what I needed. I didn't go without clothes. I used to share a lot of my things, my toys, my clothes, because there was other people that didn't have, you know, as what I had. And I was always a giving person, so that's what I used to do. She never would say, no, don't give such and such anything, you know. It's, she was a giving person as well.
I have a picture of Miss Gee with the governor in her work clothes.
Mm.
Do you remember that day? Do you remember when it happened?
No, I don't.
No?
I remember her talking about it, but I don't remember much about what she was saying.
Was it a source of pride for her? Was it something that she expected to happen, or?
I don't know if she expected that, or if it was something that they were given, were prepped to say, this is what, who was coming, blah, 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 blah. It might have been. I'm not sure about that.
Okay. I also have a picture. You gave me a very famous picture that is kind of describes your mother to me all in one part. And it's her working her job, but she's got a cigarette dangling from the end of her mouth.
Kent cigarettes. She used to smoke Kent's.
And she is not, she's diminutive. She's not like really a tall woman.
No.
But describe to me about your mother. Describe something to me about your mother, about how tough, I mean, you had to be to do these jobs, for one thing.
Ooh, my mother was small. She was not a big person. She was always small, very, very thin. I wanted to say she was like 100 pounds soaking wet. She might have gained weight as she gained, as she got older, but she was always a small framed person, about 5'4", maybe 5'3", 5'4", about 112 pounds. But still strong, strong minded, strong willed, and just handled what she had to handle. Just do what she had to do.
I loved what you said about how important it is to get your mother's story told.
Mm.
And I noticed that you were kind of emotional about that. You made me cry. But what do you have to say to wrap this all up about Miss Gee and what she meant to your family?
Mm.
What, I mean, you've already said a lot. And it's amazing, you know, the term single mother, for example, wasn't something that we really talked about because we all had mothers in the village.
Right, but right.
She was an amazing person, and I would like you to talk about her just a little bit more, and maybe in relation to some of the stuff you said earlier, but also what she meant to you as a mom. I mean,
again, like I said, I have to take my hat off to her. I have a lot of respect for her and the others that did what they had to do and never complained about it. Overall, she was definitely a good person, dedicated, finish everything that she started, you know, had morals. She did have morals. She was tough. The whole family was tough. But she was a family person as well, because her upbringing was, at the time, everybody lived together. Whether it be the grandparents, the grandfather, the kids, their children, their grandchildren, everybody was brought up in the same house, and everybody was speaking Creole, you know. Like my older sister, she had to learn to speak English, So it was always family oriented. Family took care of family. And like I said, everybody, you always, whenever you went to the house, you there was food on it, always food on the table. So I never knew that. Later on in life, as I was older and moved back to New Bedford, they would say, oh, you know, the villages, the Bay Village was, it's a project. It was for poor folks. I never felt that. I never felt that. As a matter of fact, there used to be people that came from all over the world, the country, and places that I visited, they knew about New Bedford, and they knew about the people in New Bedford. They knew about the fishing industry. I remember when I lived in Boston, I went to this restaurant on Boylston, and they had a menu, of course, and it had New Bedford haddock. And I was like, wow, okay. The wharf got around. But it was a big fishing port. It was the biggest. Now that it was the biggest fishing port here on the East Coast, besides Gloucester, but New Bedford was the biggest. So it was popular. And like I said, I have a lot of respect for all of them that did everything that they had to do. They all still had illnesses, my aunts as well, arthritis, all of them. So they paid the price.
And there was a certain amount of pride that went along with the job that they did.
It did. It did.
I just want to ask you, if you had one thing to walk away from this interview with that you want people to know about the job that your mother did, the way that she approached it as something she had to do,
yeah,
to provide.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to me about your mother and let me know, what do you want people to walk away with? If I said, did you know Mary Giesors? And you could describe her and say, in kind of a nutshell.
Describe her. Well, I don't want to repeat myself. However, I don't know. I just have to say something like, there was maybe other jobs that she could have done. However, she chose to work in the fishing industry. And like I said before, she really never complained about it. I can't think of anything else.
Let me ask you this. Is this a job that you or I would have done?
No. Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you this. When I moved back to New Bedford from Boston, I was looking for a job, and I happened to get one because I worked in accounting. So I went through the temp agency, and they gave me a job at the fish house. I think it was Tishon Fish House, towards the south end of New Bedford. And I worked in the office. And it was scallops. Mm-hmm. It was scallops. And when I walked in there, I was like, oh my God. Mm-mm. Being on the inside, seeing things on the inside, opposed from seeing it from the outside in, woof, that was a tough job. Tough job, to say the least.
And you're speaking of your mother's job, or that was
the fish, yes.
Seeing it from the inside.
Yes. I didn't have to touch the fish, the scallops, or anything like that. Mine was just, you know, paper and pen. But seeing what they were doing on the floor and how wet they would get. That's the other thing. Not just it being cold in the fish house, because you ain't got no heat running, okay? They were wet as well, along with the cold. So a few times she would have to, like, bring extra clothing to change into because they would be wet. It was rough. It was rough.
But she was a very proud woman, and she brought up a very strong and proud young lady.
Yeah.
And I think that this is going to be amazing. I really, really think this is going to be amazing.
And I appreciate everything that you all are doing to bring this to the forefront, because it's important to our community, our people, and to represent them in the right way of what they sacrificed for us to get where we're at. Because my mother was not educated. My mother, at the time, she was only, went to, I believe it was the 8th grade. So to see me graduate high school and go to college, as well as you, was what they looked at as they sacrificed for us to get ahead, so that we would not have to endure the pain, sacrificing hard work for a little bit of money. We would not have to go through that. And it was a success.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else you want to tell me that we may have not covered?
No, it just was a great sacrifice. That's all I know, looking back at it all.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't see things until you leave and come back.
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
I want to thank you. I think this is going to be amazing. And I hope you feel the same way.
I do.
And
you don't know. I'm heartfelt of everything.
It was beautiful.
Here.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Most of it's on yours. I missed the first 15 minutes on mine because I was fixing yours. Mine. Oh, it's on yours.
Okay.
You can see the numbers. See, okay. Once it's yep. The numbers are there.
Okay, now I got to pee.
Okay, let me. You could have taken a break at any time.
No.
You want to shut that down? Or
Yeah, just hit stop. Okay. The square button.